That's to put you in the mood, listeners, for talking about Japanese food. The Japanese restaurant Ishizuka has barely been opened a year in Melbourne's Bourke Street, but it's already won two hats in the recent Good Food Guide for 2019. Reporter Veronica Matheson talked to the restaurant manager, Michelle Wu, about Ishizuka and how diners need to arrive early to find its location in the heart of the city.
Ishizuka has come a long way in a short time, Michelle. The restaurant is not yet a year old, yet you've already earned two hats from the Good Food Guide. Now, that's great kudos from the culinary industry.
Yeah, of course. It's amazing to be so well received by everyone, taking us by surprise as well.
And I guess you've had a little bit of a celebration.
Yes, we did. We all went out for dinner, actually, last night.
So where do you go? Another restaurant that's Japanese or entirely different?
We have two main chefs who are Japanese, and they haven't really experienced a lot of other cuisines. So last night we took them to Sunda, which is a little bit more Southeast Asian flavour profile. Some flavours they're still familiar with, but with some new ingredients as well.
Terrific. So you're all today feeling a little bit relaxed.
We behave. We have work today.
Good. And the name of the restaurant, how did that come about?
It's a family name of one of the chefs. So we have a head chef, his name is Satoshi, and we also have a consultant chef who is called Yomo. So they work together. So Satoshi brings a lot of the traditional kind of kaiseki experience, and Yomo brings the creative side. Yomo used to work at Reblochon in Tokyo, so he has a little bit more of the French-style classic training, whereas Satoshi is very classic, traditional kaiseki, so Japanese chef. So they both work together to form their menu. So Satoshi has been with the restaurant from the beginning, and Yomo has been with the restaurant for a few months now.
Both of them obviously are Japanese-trained.
Satoshi moved to Melbourne for this job. So he's not even been in Melbourne for a year. He's still trying to find his feet. And Yomo has been in Melbourne for a little while now. They've both worked in restaurants in Japan.
Getting to your restaurant, actually arriving there, is an adventure in itself. The location may be in Bourke Street, but that's only the start. Could you go from there, Michelle?
Yeah, of course. So there is no signage anywhere. So half the phone calls I get every night is people trying to find the restaurant. So you actually have to walk down a little kind of alleyway or walkway, and then there's an intercom system on the wall, which you need to buzz the intercom, so then we can let you through and then you can come down the lift.
So you know you're going to be in for something special when you get there.
Exactly. I mean, it's an adventure trying to find the restaurant. So when you finally made it, it's almost like a sense of achievement.
So when people are late, you realise the reason they are late is because they just couldn't find you.
Yeah, they're probably just walking up and down Bourke Street.
And your restaurant, it's only a 16-seater. I mean, that's a tiny restaurant.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, it's very Japanese in that sense that it is quite small and quite intimate. It does give whoever is in there just the feeling that you can speak to the chef and not feel like you're taking too much of that person's time, just because it's so intimate and setting.
The diners would feel pretty special, wouldn't they?
Yeah, of course.
And they can actually watch the chefs at work.
Yeah, so it is all counter seating along, and then so all the seats face into the kitchen. So you watch the chefs cook the food, you watch the chefs plate the food as well.
So that in itself is a learning experience as well as a dining experience.
Of course, and it's very theatrical as well, just watching their knife skills as well.
Now, the style of the menu, it's known as kaiseki. Yeah. Could you tell me about that? What sort of style is it?
Well, it's actually existed in Japan for a very long time. It's actually based off cooking practices from Zen monasteries, and it kind of traveled through the Japanese imperial court. So it started off as a series of small dishes to accompany Japanese tea ceremony, and it's then kind of been modernized by chefs these days. So the format is generally a set menu format. However, it's always based on the season. So our current menu that we have at the moment is the spring menu, and we will change onto the summer menu. So it's the freshest ingredients available.
So what's so fresh at the moment that you have to have on the menu?
Well, I mean, it is spring, so we have a lot of spring veggies like asparagus and things like that, which is quite exciting for the chefs to be able to play around with all those different flavours. But there are certain dishes that will always stay on our menu just because they've been popular.
I mean, it's a degustation menu. So how many courses do you have?
It's 11 courses all up.
And it's not cheap, actually, is it? Because it's, what, $215 per person before you've even started drinking.
Yes, that's correct. It is quite expensive. However, when you do come in and you see just how much, I guess, prep work is going on behind the scenes, and you kind of understand where all of that time and effort has gone.
So now I think one of the opening appetizers is a beluga caviar is sort of pretty special itself, isn't it?
Exactly. So obviously we try to source some premium ingredients.
And what do you drink with such a special meal? Just sake?
Well, we have different options. So we actually work with Sarah and David Lawler, and they actually source our wines for our wine list, and they have come up with an alcoholic and non-alcoholic pairing to go with the food as well. If you don't want to decide what to drink, we can decide for you. So the pairings are specifically picked sakes or wines that will accompany each dish.
Oh, that makes sense. What is the most popular dish? Is it always the main dish, or is there something that, you know, everybody says, oh, that's divine, I've got to have that?
Oh, well, the main popular ones would be the toro sushi, so the tuna belly. We actually source it directly from the Tokyo Fish Market. They get it over here. And we also have David Blackmore Wagyu. So those two, I'd guess, would be the most popular.
So the tuna that comes from the Tokyo market, I mean, at the moment they've just moved.
Yeah.
Has that created any problems for you?
Not really. The chefs, they have to subtly pause and they've Tokyo market just because a lot of people would not be familiar with the new name of the new location. But we haven't had any supply issues so far.
And what, does it just come overnight and you use it the next day?
Yes, yeah, so it's twice a week that we get deliveries.
Actually, opening, how often do you open?
For service, 5 nights a week. So it's Wednesday to Sunday.
The guests who come, the diners, celebrating a special occasion.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good mix. We do get a lot of celebrations, a lot of birthdays and anniversaries. But a lot of the time it's also people who love Japanese food as well. And there's actually not that many kaiseki restaurants available, really. So it's a good way to experience a different interpretation of Japanese cuisine.
And Japanese flavours are so popular at the moment, especially in Melbourne.
Yeah, I think it's just the combination of that kind of umami flavour, that kind of savoury aspect of it.
We've all been introduced by sushi, and now we've moved on to be a little bit more adventurous.
Exactly, yeah.
That was Michelle Wu of the Japanese restaurant Ishisuka in Bourke Street, Melbourne, that's just been awarded two hats in the Good Food Guide for 2019. Days earlier, the restaurant's state-of-the-art design was named international winner in the Australian and Pacific Restaurant category of the prestigious Restaurant and Bar Design Awards in London.